Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm on the ministry team and happy to be sharing today in our summer series called Wise. Luke began a part one of part two, part one last week about wise decisions. And I'm continuing to talk today as we learn together about wise decision making. I want to begin by telling you about a weekend many years ago where I candidated for my first lead pastor position. It's quite a story. Julie and I traveled 5 to 6 hours from where we were at that point living outside of Toronto to Montreal, the big city, hoping to arrive around 9 p.m. on the Saturday evening to stay overnight at a council member's house. And of course, the big day was on Sunday. We had only met Ralph and Pauline, the council member and spouse, once before. Lucas, our youngest, was a very young infant. And of course, as younger people, pastors, we were anxious and excited, and it was just a plethora of all kinds of things going on in our minds. Well, as we arrived at their house late Saturday evening, we began to unload the car, all the baby stuff, et cetera, and we quickly realized that we had forgotten to grab the clothes bag that was hanging in our hall closet, 6 hours away. Yes, the suit bag. Now, again, this is back in the day when you wore suits to church and ties and dress clothes, and you wore them in the morning and you wore them at night. Some of you would never even know or appreciate those days, but they actually existed, and we were living hardcore in the middle of those days. This is a true story. Our dress clothes were hanging in the closet in our home 6 hours away, and it was now 9 to 10 p.m. on Saturday evening. There was no chance to buy. The curiosity was now, what would we borrow to be ready for tomorrow? Now, of course, we didn't know anybody. And to be honest, you can imagine how hard it was, and difficult and embarrassing to tell Ralph, "You're never going to guess what happened. I have no clothes, nor does Julie, for tomorrow." Oh, my, terrible. And I had no way to help myself because I didn't know anyone. It was awful to hear Ralph pick up the phone late Saturday night and start interrupting people with this thought, our guest speaker, this candidating pastor, has got no clothes. He forgot them in his closet. I was so embarrassed. Regardless, by Sunday morning, we had clothes, but they weren't the best clothes. He managed to get me a black double-breasted suit of someone that was much taller than I was. And so early Sunday morning, I was literally needing to tape up my sleeves and tape up my pants so that at least it would somehow be fitting in some form. It felt awful as I was wearing them. And of course, the kind-hearted Pauline, much older than the 27-year-old cute Julie that I was with, decided to offer some of her clothes and all the good intentions. It's just that the style was so different. And as I watched Julie put on some of these, let's just say, older person clothes as a 27-year-old, I was like, oh, I felt so sorry for her. I was so embarrassed. Well, we showed up in other people's clothes. We were lacking our clothes. We were without them. And being introduced to that congregation on that Sunday and me trying to be, I needed to be stiff-armed that whole morning because if I went in any way like this, the tape would show. And of course, I did have my shoes, which was a saving grace. But then they introduced Julie. And here's Dave's wife, Julie, way back there. And as I saw her stand up, and other people's clothes, it was just so hard. Oh, it was a bad day. Well, regardless of what we looked like, we did find our way into their hearts by the end of the day, and we did find ourselves in that position. And again, of course, you can imagine on that first Sunday, a few months later, to tell that story as the first story out of my mouth, you can imagine how embarrassing but yet humorous that actually was. We were traveling, so why talk about this? We were traveling with something without something that was very important that day. When the need arose, we were lacking big time. And in some ways, this is what the verse in James chapter 1 alludes to when we carry the theme verse for the summer along. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. The word that James has chose for the word lack, it means to have left behind something that's yours, or and therefore finding ourselves traveling without something that is very much needed. When we were traveling the 401 corridor, we were lacking something that was ours that we would need at the appointed time. And our verse here is saying it's possible for us to be doing the same within our lives. And of course, here is sharing an invitation that we've looked at these last number of weeks. If you are traveling without wisdom and you are lacking wisdom, you need to ask God. So we can, of course, trace this lack back to the Garden of Eden and where we're introduced to Adam and Eve, our forefathers and mothers. In Genesis 3, we read of Adam and Eve's choice, talk about decisions, decision to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They became knowledgeable and morally conscious to make choices for good and also for evil. And this is our human story, to the point where perhaps the world is now full of human knowledge. Knowledge, what a gift. We build things. We get people to the moon. We are now using AI and are finding cures for diseases. This world is full of knowledge. But as James 1 says, it is possible to be full of knowledge, but lacking wisdom. As Luke defined it last week, knowledge being what we know. Wow, the world is full of knowledge. And wisdom being defined on how we live. James is saying it's possible for us to be moving along and lacking wisdom or lacking on how to properly live in a way that is blessed by God and is a blessing to us. Perhaps, again, this is a pretty good picture of what is so often seen in the world. Lots of knowledge, but lacking wisdom. Moving along with increasing knowledge, but lacking wisdom on how to live responsibly. And what is evident in Genesis chapter 3 is that God will not override a human will. And that's still true today. God has given each of us, and Luke alluded to this last week, God has given each of us a free will as our open invitation. And that invitation is this: if you have left something behind or are lacking something today, wisdom on how to live or make choices and decisions, ask God. Ask God. So we're discussing wise decisions. Luke began last week. Let's continue this week and consider some of the big decisions that are outlined in Scripture before we practically apply it. Let's firstly consider, and Luke alluded to this last week, let's consider the decision that God has made to love you and how he has shown that. God has made that decision. James, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God's sovereign, Luke called it overarching plan, has been laid out. There's no secrets. He goes on record that he has made a decision, and that is to love people, and he offers a plan of salvation to see that happen. Ephesians 1, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. According to the kind intention of his will. We should be thankful today, as we think about wise decisions, of the fact that God has first made a decision to love us and offer us salvation. And friends, this of course, is the biggest decision that's ever been made. God-loving people. And he, how has he decided to choose us? He has decided to choose us by way of invitation, that whosoever can come. This plan for our lives is according to the kind intention of his will, for it's God's will that you would be a child of God, and our choice or decision to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is the most important decision any person will ever make. We have to start our wise or continue our wise decision conversation, reminding ourselves of God's sovereign decision and our need to warm ourselves to his love for us and to make that decision to include God within our lives, hence all of our further decisions. Another decision mentioned in the Bible is found in Joshua chapter 24, where Joshua says to the people of Israel, "Then choose or decide for yourselves this day whom you will serve." This leads us to the importance of the timing of our decisions. As Luke pointed out last week, a lot of our decisions are off the table if we choose to obey the great commandment and great commission every day. And here Joshua, full of knowledge and wisdom, was asking the people of Israel to think short term, choose today, and furthermore was asking them to think long term. So Joshua records a response, "For as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The word serve means today and for all of my tomorrows, for the rest of my life. A lot of questions move off the table if we settle the fact that God loves us all the time, and that if we, as we choose him now and for our days ahead, so many questions and so many decisions are already made for us or on our behalf. I recall that question on the day of my water baptism. While in a water baptism tank, "Dave, is it your desire to follow Jesus for the rest of your life?" And I answered, "Yes." That wise decision has removed all kinds of secondary decisions because I have in the center of my life a Lord and a Savior who loves me deeply and whom I'm choosing wisely to serve as well. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And this decision in advance will help us and me avoid temptation, double-mindedness, uncertainty, and all kinds of evil and doubts as we shore up the wise decision to follow only Jesus today and Jesus only for the rest of our lives. As we think long-term, the psalmist picked up on this in Psalm 23. "For surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The psalmist David is speaking prophetically. You and I can choose the path today. And so whatever comes, hell or high water, we have already chosen or decided, I choose God because he has chosen me for the rest of my life, both on earth and for all eternity. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So many decisions are removed if we get those two decisions understood and applied. Wise decisions. If you've never made that wise decision to trust Jesus at his word, that he loves you, and to accept invitation to choose you this day whom you will serve, I would just say, in terms of wise decisions, today is the day of your salvation. Benefit, receive, become a child of God today. Make that wise, fundamental decision. Well, the third decision in Scripture is to let God change you into a new person. One of our church values at Living Waters is worded this way: we value growing because we want to become more like Jesus. Jesus loves us enough to take us as we are, but too much to leave us as we are. We want to be rooted in Jesus, shaped by Scripture, and reliant on the Holy Spirit, expecting to mature in every way as we grow together. Very scripturally founded. One verse that this value points to is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, "But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So as it comes to wise decisions, we need to be continually changing the way we think, not to be uncertain or unstable, but because God is making us into a new person, and that new person thinks very differently than the old person. We're all needing to make a decision to let God make us into this person, this new person. This requires us to change the way we think about God and ourselves, because this new person, that doesn't even exist yet, So nor do we know the new person that God is making us. God does, but we have yet to discover it through wise decisions and choices. Making wise choices and decisions over long periods of times helps us to discover the newness of the gospel applied within our lives that God has us for earth and for all eternity. Four of five, number four, the decision to be a good person. Psalm 37 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Notice the emphasis and the teaching by the psalmist. The emphasis here is on being a good man, in the sense that if you and I decide wisely to be the one that is good with God's help, God's promise is that the decisions that he makes for us, in other words, the steps that he orders, will be good for us, and we will will lead us along the blessed path. God making decisions for us, God establishing our steps. Another translation, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. As we choose to be loved by God and to love God and allow God to allow us to become that new and good person, we can be confident that the decisions that God makes for us, those wise decisions that God makes for us, will be for our good as we delight in him. So let's turn the page here for the rest of our time. We've just mentioned some things that are pretty black and white when it comes to God's choice, God's decisions, and our need to make wise decisions and the ensuing benefits. But what about the things that happen in our lives in 2023 that aren't necessarily worded in Scripture? Things where we do need clarity on practical, everyday, important life decisions. Decisions that are tied to opportunities, provision, and again, of course, diversity as it relates to our lives. What about decisions that shape our future and experiences? Decisions that create context and relationship and opportunities, because we live in a real world. What about simple decisions that come to my mind? The decision to attend UBC, BCIT, or TWU. A very important crossroads of decision making. What about a decision to move from dating to engagement with the promise of marriage? A huge decision in the life of a person. What about the decision to work here or to stop working here and to work over there? What about the decision of when to start a family? What about the more ebb and flow of everyday life decisions about what movie to watch or not to watch, or what to eat and what to drink? What about going along with these people along that path, or changing the course of direction and moving with these people along this path? Or what about volunteering here versus volunteering there? Of course, when it comes to wise decisions, the Bible does not specifically lay out answers to individual, specific, contextualized decisions for each and every person that's ever lived. But it does, however, offer us wisdom so that we don't lack when faced with decisions to be made. So, very quickly, five building blocks for making wise, practical decisions. Number one, don't separate the sacred from the secular. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given. So all these things. In the New Testament, somewhat different in the Old Testament, Jesus, through his new covenant, has redeemed all things in the sense that there's no time that I'm doing something secular and at other times doing something sacred or spiritual. In Christ, we consider all things for his honor and for his glory. So when it comes to wise decision-making, the wise person will seek God about all things, both large and small, friendships, activities, employment, family, volunteering, purchases. We are to seek God first so that our lives and our thinking would be aligned, according to Matthew 6:33, with the purposes of the kingdom of God as a priority, of which, when that happens, we benefit. Number two, wise decisions require a moment when we have to take ourselves out of the story. Surrender. What do I mean by that? These decisions affect me. These decisions are important to me. What do you mean? That seems so irresponsible to actually, in the midst of decision-making, delay and step out. What are we getting at? Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know. Wise decision-making involves a moment of being still so that we can know. The psalmist very creatively and very intentionally chose the word still to be a word that represents vacation, step away. So how do we apply that? In the midst of difficult decisions, decisions where there seems to be many possible paths, we seek God first, and then the psalmist says, step out, step away. Take yourself out of the story for a moment and know that he is God. So we're not leaving the situation. We're stepping out so that we can know the situation with God in the middle of it. God in the middle of my education. God in the middle of my dating and all my relationships. God in the middle of me choosing career. God in the middle of my family. God in the middle of my retirement. We step away. We're still. And wise decision-making is not impulsive, and nor is it reactive. It requires a response. But the first response is seeking God. The second response is stepping away so that we can see the situation in front of us with the help of God. God in the middle of our lives. Thirdly, wise decision-making requires time to allow God a chance to work on our behalf. Psalm 31:19 says, how abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. The third building block is time. Time to step away, vacate, so God can get involved, and then time, while our hands are off it, if you would, God is getting involved, and God is preparing the good gifts. God is preparing other people to bless us. God is closing doors and opening doors on our behalf. God is getting involved so that all those good things that God has for us can get to us at God's appointed perfect time when we would benefit most. So you say, well, I mean, how does that play out? It sounds so perfect, and we're not. How does it play out? Well, I think of how sometimes I impulsively buy things because I'm quick to act, and I want something, and I don't create those building blocks. Or there's times when someone says, oh, I need a vehicle, and I'm buying this vehicle this weekend, and by the way, God, can you do a miracle? Notice the order. I'm buying a vehicle, I'm doing it this way, and oh, by the way, God, can you provide a miracle of provision? Now, God works in those situations. God works in response to crisis. Of course he does. What we're talking about today is wise building blocks of decision and clarity. And so perhaps switching the order. God, you know my need of a vehicle. God, at some point I am choosing by faith to invest because you've given me the resources. God, can you lead me to the right vehicle? Very different than the other way around. So often when we step ahead of God, we end up the first prayer request, God, would you bless my decision? And then it's often followed by a second prayer request, God, because of the decision that I've made by getting ahead of you, now I need you to provide a second job or a new job because I'm in over my head financially. I mean, one decision can lead to another decision, which leads to another decision, and all of a sudden, we find ourselves so much in places where we don't need to be. Fourthly, as Luke mentioned last week, benefit from the gift of community in decision-making. So much good comes from conversations with trusted friends about things that are important to us, and there is benefit in wise counsel. And lastly, finally, when it comes to finally, you know, pulling the plug, making the decision, do it joyfully and do it confidently. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously without finding fault. God gives generously. Be not double-minded when it comes to making the decision that has been informed by the five building blocks or four building blocks that I've mentioned. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. There's no joy there. There's insecurity when it comes to being double-minded. Wise decisions lead us to good things and good people and good opportunities and a good life. And yes, we're all different. We're all uniquely made. And our decisions should be expressions of the way, as Luke said last week, the way God has uniquely made us, with all the different preferences and tastes and styles and needs that we have, we are all so uniquely different. And so there are times when our decisions would become decisions that someone else would not make. But because of the way we've built our lives upon God, we can make those decisions confidently because they're decisions that we have discovered with the help of God. One of my personal values is self-expression. And as a child of God, you have a unique path to walk on that will require you, as God makes you into this new person, it will require you from time to take to make decisions that others wouldn't make, but they're important for you to make because of who you are. So when you make those unique decisions, do it with joy. So go buy that car. Go on that vacation. Say yes to that college you've always wanted to go to. Get engaged, have a family, watch that movie, eat at that restaurant, make good decisions because God is good and what he has for us, what he has stored up for us is so, so good. We can make wise decisions and can feel really, really, really good about it. So again, wise decisions. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. To lack in this verse means to have left behind something that's yours, my clothes, leaving behind something that is potentially ours, wisdom. As a child of God, you have been given an invitation to ask of a very generous and wise God, and he wants to give you so that you do not lack at the appointed time. I'm so glad that God is always about telling a redemptive story in our lives. We're talking about wise decisions. I'm sure all of us today, as we think back over the course of our lives, we would look back and say, wow, if I knew what I knew now, I never would have made that decision the way I did or the decision that I did make way back. Look at what has happened since. You know, friends, all of us, through the course of our lives, comes to these moments where potentially we could feel very regretful. Yeah, there are things in all of our past that are tied to consequences of decisions we've made. But today, It's never too late today to begin to make wise decisions. And I'm thankful to say, whatever your past looked like, good or bad or a bit of both, today is the day that God would want you to hear. Today is the day to continue or to begin to make wise decisions. And God would also say to all of us today, He is about telling a new redemptive story in our lives and through our lives. And friends, don't put a restriction on what that possibly could become as you follow Jesus all the rest of your life. So today, in closing, if you need wisdom, if you're lacking, ask God. He wants to give you generously, to you generously, without finding any fault, so that you can know His good favor for His glory and for our benefit. In Jesus' name, amen.
So good to hear from Dave today and continue in our series and really just learning this summer about what wisdom looks like. As we go, let us just have a chance to pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much that You lead and guide us through our lives and that You offer wisdom generously without finding fault. And we just pray as we go into our week that You would lead and guide us. And as we ask, we just trust that You are giving us wisdom and discernment in terms of our decisions, in terms of our work, our rest, everything about our lives. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your presence with us today. In Your name, amen. Have a great week.